Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Mem Ches. Just one point from yesterday. I mentioned at the beginning of yesterday's shiur on Mem Vavam Beis when we were about to quote that brisa, the Gemara gave a simon for the brisa. And the simon the Gemara gave was Amalek. So I mentioned yesterday that it was strange that the Gemara would give such a simon of Amalek. So I got a text from one of my Talmidim yesterday. Ari Lipsky texted me and he said, you know, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden discusses that in the back of the Gemara. And I took a look and Taka, he does discuss it. So I was happy to see someone brought it up. And he says, it's a chiddush that they would give a simon by someone that it says about in the Torah, Timcha Zechar Amalek, and we're going to give a simon Amalek, on, you know, even though you were supposed to be Timcha Zechar Amalek. So he says there's a remez in the Torah to Dafka sometimes mention Amalek, that he says, the Torah says, Lo Sishkach at the end of the Pasuk. And he says, if you look at the trap by Lo, by the word Lo, there's a Tipcha, which is Mafsik. So it's Ki'ilu, the Torah is telling you, Tishkach, that there are certain times that you're not supposed to not forget to be Timcha Zechar Amalek. Sometimes you are supposed to forget. And what's the idea? The idea is that he says, it's dafka to give you such a heter to use Amalek to allow you to remember Torah. I mean, it's a very unusual siman. I was just talking to someone yesterday. It's a very unusual siman. I remember every halacha in that price now, even though normally my memory, my short-term memory is not so great. I remember every halacha in that price. You just go through the ayin, you remember it. So he says, and the idea is that the Gemara tells us elsewhere in Chulin Daf Kuftes, Lahachnis Menuvel Lebeis HaMedrus L'Shaver Kocho, that in Pagam Menuvel Zef, this Menuvel, the Yetzer Hara, attacks you, bring the Menuvel into the Beis Medrash, and in that way you'll break the Menuvel, and you'll take the whatever nitzots of Kedusha there is in the Menuvel, by bringing him into the Beis Medrash and using him to help you in learning. So he says, that's the idea of Amalek, that we bring the Menuvel Amalek into the Beis Medrash, and we allow Amalek to help us remember things in learning. Okay, but that was really from yesterday, just wanted to get back to that. Okay, today's daf is Daf Mem Ches. We left off Mem Zayin Mem Beis about 5 lines from the bottom of the page. Amar Rav Huna, Tal Yuva Zavin Zvine Zvine, if you force someone into selling something to you, literally Tal Yuva means you hang him, you hang somebody and say, I'm not letting you down until you sell it to me, and he says, okay, I'll sell it to you, that's a valid sale. You're paying money for it, but he's not interested in selling it to you until you hang him up on a tree and force him to sell it to you. That is a valid sale. So the Gemara is going to have 4 possible reasons as to why that's a valid sale. So says Gemara, my time, why is it a valid sale? Reason number 1. Kol the mazbin inish, ilav the anis, lav a mazbin. Most things, even though it says kol, it really means most things that people sell, if it weren't for the fact that there was some sort of onus, that they were forced into selling it, they wouldn't be happy about selling it. People don't just go pawn off their possessions unless they're desperate. So in general, people are only selling things because they're desperate and because they feel a sense of onus in their lives. And still, you're not going to say that if I sell my fancy car because times are tough, that it's not a valid sale. I wasn't happy to sell the fancy car. I didn't want to downgrade. But because times are tough, I was forced into it, so to speak. It was an onus. And nevertheless, it's vada, a valid sale, so why should it be any different if someone else is ma'anes me into selling something? Now, the truth is, most of the time people sell things, it's not really it's not really for an onus. If you go to a store and buy something, the salesman is very happy to sell it to you. He doesn't feel forced into selling something to you. So the Rashbam points out, meaning we talk about that what the Gemara is talking about is most of the time people are selling their private possessions. That a person wouldn't give up his private possessions, and nevertheless, you see that selling private possessions does work. And the Rashbam writes, 3 lines from the bottom, Shlo nitna tar chilek b'mekka chumemkar bein dvar matzrichon lo umachran l'dvar m'she'in tzrichon lo. And it can't be that there's any distinction in the Torah between those items that you need that are your personal items and items that you don't need that are items in your shop that you're selling. So anyway, so that's svara number 1, possibility number 1 of why it is that when someone is forced into selling something that it's a valid sale. Answers the Gemara, no, maybe that's not such a good raya. V'dilma shani unsa d'nafshe, mi'unsa d'achrini. Maybe there are 2 types of onus. When you force yourself into selling something because you feel like you need the money for something else, for some better purpose, like to put food on the table, so maybe that's a valid sale. But when you're being forced by an outside party to sell something, maybe that's an invalid sale. Maybe that's not so good. But just in general, what does it mean till Yovasavn? Before we get into explanations numbers 2 through 4, what does it even mean till Yovasavn? The Rashbam writes that Talavo so, or the guy either hangs you up on a tree or he starts giving you Yisurin until you sell it. He starts punishing you until you sell it, and he's going to pay you Kesef, he'll pay you money for it, right? The Rambam writes that even if he doesn't do anything to you physically, even if he just scares you, that's also called till you have zav, and that's also called a type of ones. And other Rishonim write that even if the way he's ma'anis you is by telling you that if you don't sell him something, you're going to lose money, or he's going to cause you a loss of money. Not that he scares you physically; he doesn't threaten you physically. Other Rishonim write the Rosh and Siman Nun Aleph and the Tur in Siman Reish Hei, the Rosh ben Tshuva, right? They all say even if he doesn't threaten you physically, he just threatens you monetarily. That also is called Tol Yuv Zavin. That also is called an Ones in some way. They also point out that it could be even if it's a threat to your relatives, right? Something like that. It doesn't have to be direct physical damage that he does to you. And not only does it not have to be direct physical damage, it doesn't even have to be a threat of direct physical damage. It could be a threat of loss of money, a threat of hurting your relatives, things like that. However, the Ma'arik writes that if all he does is, let's say it's someone who supports you and helps you, and he says that if you don't sell this to me, you're not going to have my support anymore, you're not going to have my help anymore, so that's not called an ones, because that's not a hefsid, that's just menias harevach. He's just withholding from you a potential gain in the future, but he's not causing you any sort of hefsid. Now, the discussion that the Achronim have related to this daf is regarding the Yisra of Lo Sachmud. Right? It says in the Torah, Lo Sachmud, it's one of the Asar Sadibros, the last of them, and Lo Sachmud means that you're not allowed to covet something that belongs to somebody else. So there is a Machlokas Rishonim, if there's an Yisra of Lo Sachmud, when you force somebody to sell something to you, and you pay for it, right? And he says, Rotsani, he says, okay, but he was forced into it. Is that a violation of Lo Sachmud? So the Rambam says, yes, that is a violation of Lo Sachmud. The Ravid and Tosos in one day seem to assume that it's not an Isra of Lo Sachmud, because if the sale works, so it's probably not Lo Sachmud, right? But the Rambam clearly assumes that it is Lo Sachmud. In fact, the Rambam holds it's only Lo Sachmud if you covet it so much that you force the guy into giving it to you. If you didn't covet it enough to do something about it, to try to get it, then it wouldn't be Lo Sachmud. The way the Achronim explained is that the Lo Sachmud means you shouldn't covet. So it's in your brain, it's in your heart, right? But what's the shear? How much coveting is a violation of Lo Sachmud? So the shear of Lo Sachmud, right? The shear of how much coveting would be a violation of Lo Sachmud is enough coveting that you actually do something about it that you force him to sell it to you. But even if you pay Kesef Shalem, it's going to be Lo Sachmud. So the Magen Mishnah raises the question, if it's taka violation of Lo Sachmud, then why does the Mechira help? Meaning, doesn't the Gemara and Tamura, the one Gemara and Tamura that everybody knows, say that Kol Nilsa Dam Rachmana Lo Sa'avid Yavad Lo Mahani, that Shitas Rava is anytime the Torah tells you you can't do something, if you go and you do it, it doesn't create the chalos that you desired for it to create. So if the Torah says you can't do this sale, and you go and you do the sale, shouldn't that invalidate the sale? So how could you say that till you have a zav and zvini zvini, how could our Gemara say it's going to work? If according to the Rambam, it's a violation of Lo Sachmud. So the Magen Mishnah says a difficult answer. The Magen Mishnah says it's just like if you steal wool and then you dye the wool, that even though you violated an Isser, you're still kone it with a shinoi. I mean, even though dyeing the wool is an Isser of stealing, you're kone it with a shinoi. So over here also, you're kone the money. So Minchas Chinuch points out, what are you talking about? How could you compare the two? By the case of dyeing the wool, the Gemara has a special limud to teach that you're taka kone it. But absent a special limud, you can't just say that you're automatically kone it with the shinui. So instead, the Minchas Chinuch answers differently. He says that no, since the mechira doesn't help unless you say rotza ani, so if that's the case, it's not an issue of Yavlo Mahani, because who's the one that's doing the mechira, that's causing the mechira to work? It's not the person who's coveting, it's not the lokeach who's forcing the mocher into selling it to him. It only works once the mocher says, Rotzani. So he's the one that's making the mechira work. So it may be your iser, the lokeach's iser, but it's the mocha that's causing the mechira to happen. And in that way, it has nothing to do with the yavad mahani or the yavad lo mahani. Good. So the Rav Chanan just points out in Baba Kama Os Kavalev that since the mechira doesn't happen through the lava of Lo Sachmod, meaning even if the mechira didn't work, like if the guy didn't say Rotzani, you would still be in violation of Lo Sachmod because you took action and you tried to force him to sell it to you. So he says it's no issue. It's not shaykh to Yavin Mahani, Yavin Lo Mahani, because one has nothing to do with the other. The lava of Lo Sachmod is violated as soon as you try, right? And the sale, the mechira, has nothing, is only because he says Rotzani, a very similar idea. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Reason possibility number two, why it could be that forcing someone into a mechira is a valid mechira. Ella kidetanya, rather, is from the following brisa. The pasuk says Yakrov oso, melamid shekofin oso. Pasuk says Yakrov oso, that the rest of the pasuk is im ola karbano min abakar zachar tam yakrivenu. If a person has a karban ola that he has to bring, he should bring it al pesach al moed yakriv oso l'ritzon olufnei Hashem. So from the yakriv oso we darshin that you can even force a guy to bring a karban yachal bal karcho. I mean, I think forcing means against his will. Tamad lomar l'ritzono. That's why it says l'ritzono. Haketzad, how could it be both bal karcho and l'ritzono? That you force him when a guy is chayv to bring a karban, we're allowed to force him until he says, okay, I want to bring the karban. So you beat him up until he says he wants to bring it, and then it's okay. So just like that works for akravas karban, so we want to suggest maybe the same thing works for a mechira, that it's a valid mechira if you force the guy into saying, okay, I want to sell it to you. And says, maybe over there it's different because the guy's getting something for it. He's getting a kapara out of it. And therefore, deep down inside, he really does want to bring this carbon because he desperately needs this kapara. But in our case, he has no desire to sell anything to you. Granted, you're giving him money, but he doesn't want it. He's not interested in selling to you. Over there, he's very interested in having kapara. So maybe it's different in that case. Just on this topic, Tosos raises the question. On top Tosos, mehad detanya yakriv oso v'im tomar ime hacha gamar afilu tolyu aviyav nami matana havi v'hidus akrikin muchach deina matana. He says if this would be the source, then even if you force someone into giving something to you, it should be a valid matana. No? Meaning we're saying that you beat him up until he says Rotzani, and that's enough. Before the Gemara rejects it by saying that no, he's getting something in exchange, he's getting kapara in exchange. But in the Havamina, it sounds like even if you would force someone into giving a matana, it would be a good matana. That's called mugging somebody, right? When you force someone into giving a matana, right? So that it would seem that would be effective also. So Vahayari Rotzalataritz Tahacha Havi Kamomecha Da Yesha Kapara Tachsa Karban Vikona Kapara. He says, no, even in the Havamina we understood that it's that when you're getting a kapara, it's more like a sale, because you're getting something in return for bringing this carbon. You're not getting anything monetarily in return, but you're getting a kapara in return. Good. The next point in Tosfos relates to the next answer that the Gemara is going to give, the next explanation the Gemara is going to give, which is one more point in the next Tosfos. Yakrov oso melamid shekofenos. So Tosfos asked the Kasha that the Gemara says, chayev chatos v'ashamos ein memashkenin osan. We don't take a mashkin from people who are chayev karbanos in order to force them to bring the karban. Well, according to our Gemara, it sounds like we do try to force them to bring the karban. So which is it? Why does the Gemara over there say that we're not memashkin people in order to, we don't take a mashkin from people in order to bring the karban? So the Ritva is metarets, that which we say ein mashkin osan, that's by stam bnei adam. But over here we're talking about bnei adam ashirim. And bnei adam ashirim, we will force them. Stam bnei adam, we're not going to put them in difficult financial straits in order to force them to bring the karban. But by bnei adam ashirim, we're more willing to put a little more, apply a little more pressure. The Ritva also says that the kasha made kara isn't really a kasha, because over here we're talking about a person who is already makrav a karban and isn't bringing it. Right, we're talking about bringing it to the Pesach Chol Moed, but he was ready mafresh the karban. So the karban is there; it's just a matter of getting him to bring it. So for that, we're going to force him to do that. We're going to say, look, you have it already; just bring it. But over there in the Gemara in Maseches Baba Kama, over there we're talking about chayev chataos who have not yet even been mafresh the karban. So that's what we're saying. We're not going to be kofed the person to be mafresh the karban in the first place. Once the karban is already hufresh, so good, then vaday will be kofed him to actually bring the karban. Okay, possibility number three, says the Gemara, four lines from the top, ve'elami seifa. Rather, we could derive the idea that Taliyo v'zavin zvini zvini from the seifa, where it says, ve'chein ata omer begite nashim, kof notzat shiyama rotzani. That you could do that by a get as well. You can force someone until they say rotzani. There's no kapara for giving a get, and nevertheless, the person, it's a valid get if you force the husband until he gets to the point where he says rotzani. So shouldn't the same thing be true by a sale? So the Gemara says, no, that's not a valid comparison. V'dilma shayni hasam de mitzvah l'shma devrei chachamim. Maybe it's different over there because you know that if the chachamim are telling you you have to give a get, so that's a mitzvah to do what the chachamim say. So you're getting a mitzvah in return for giving the get. So deep down, the real ani, right, like the Rambam explains about kofen osech yomorotz ani, deep down you really want it. It's just that they have to beat out all these klipos you have over your neshama tahora that really wants to do the right thing. So they have to beat out the truth out of you. But deep down, the truth is you really want to be shomei l'divrei chachamim, as opposed to a sale. There's nothing deep down in you saying, oh, I really want to sell this. No, this monster is just beating you up until you sell it. But it has nothing to do with what your real ani wants, what really deep down you're at all interested in. Now we go back to the top tosos in the first wide, in the last wide line. Umbigite nashim debay lemigmar minayu havinami kamomecher shenifter al yidei kach misha'er ksus va'ona. And he says, what's the havamina to learn from Gite Nashim? After all, you're not getting anything in return for giving the get. You don't get kapara for giving the get. Granted, you're doing the right thing, but you're not getting anything in return for it. How can we think that it's comparable to mecher and not to matana? He says, no, you are getting something in return when you give a get. You're pater from all the financial obligations a husband has toward his wife. So mainly, you're getting that in return. You're getting a patur, a monetary exemption in return. Avli'ef shalomar kein, but says to us, you can't say that. That's a bad svara. Dim kein get mu'usa shaloka din nami yehe kasher, uba magari shamar shmol the pasul. So the tiri tzri, so the re explains rather, they're called davar shu mechuyiv lasos, havi kuma mecher. Anything that you're halachically obligated to do has the status of a sale, meaning is much more similar to a sale than it is to a matana. Both by the karban and by the get, it's something that one is mechuyiv to do. So that's where we say that it's much more like a sale, because it's something that you are getting something in return, you're getting the knowledge that you did the right thing in return. And in that sense, it's much more similar to a sale. So much so that in the maskan of the Gemara, it's better than a sale. Right? In the maskan of the Gemara, we're saying that it's better than a sale because you have so much of a sense that you did the right thing, that it actually is the right thing to do, and that's why it's considered the real rotzani. It's considered that you really want to do it. As opposed to by a mecher, yeah, it's not the real your real desire. It's not what you really want. So says the Gemara, Ella, what's the fourth and final possibility of how we know Taliyo v'zavin zvini zvini? Ella svaruhu. It's a simple svara. Agavunse, gamor makna. That because of the pressure you're applying to the person, mistama, he has the das to actually be makna to you. Right, he wants to be makna to you because he wants to get out of the position that you've put him in to force him to sell it to you. Says Tosfos in Tamar, given the misvari adina dagavunse gamur makni amayis rukhraga bekarbon lemichta zekofen oso. So that's very sharp kasha. So if that's a svara, then why by the carbon did we need a pasuk to tell me that that we could force him and it's a valid carbon? If it's a svara that when you force him, it's a real rotsani, he really does want it. So then why by the carbon do we need a special pasuk? So says Tosfos yeshlomar di ilav kra havemina afalgav the gamur makni kivin deinu misrata el. Had it not been for the pasuk, I would have thought, of course, yes, it's considered that he wants it, but I would have thought that guy's karban is invalid, because since he had to be forced into bringing it, he's a rasha, and zevach rishayim is pasul. So had I not been told by the pasuk that it's okay to force him into bringing the karban, I would have thought, yes, of course, it's okay to force him, in the sense that forcing him creates a real ratzon on his part, but I would have thought it's a pasul karban. Why is it a pasul karban? Because he didn't really want to bring it, and he's a rasha. So that's the havamina. So kamashmala, and therefore it comes to tell me the pasuk shar karban yitzeh, that the karban works even in that situation. So says Gemara Vayter. Masav Rav Yehuda geta mu'usa bi Yisrael kasher uba akum pasul. If a Jew forces you to give a get, so it's a kasher get. If a non-Jew forces you to give a get, it's a pasul get. Uba akum choftin osavam la asem ashi Yisrael amalach. The way the Rashbam reads this is, and a guy, if he forces you by telling you, do what the Jew says you should do, then it's a kasher get. Meaning that's called the Jew forcing you. He's just using the akum as his shliach to force you. The Jew doesn't want to get his hands dirty by beating you up, so he hires a thug. He hires a guy to go and beat you up and to say do exactly what the Jew tells you to do. So that would still be a kasher get. That's how the Rashbam reads it. The Rashbam quotes Yesh Mefarshim Davi Pirusha Duresha, that Kate said Ba'akum Pasal, that this case of the guy beating you up saying, listen to what the Jew says, is an example of what we just said, that by an Akum forcing you it's Pasal. Not that this is an example of where it would be kasher, but Tosus himself rejects that as well. So anyway, bottom line is, Jew forces you it's kasher, guy forces you it's Pasal, but if when the guy forces you, he's telling you to do what the Jew says, that's going to be a kasher get as well. That's going to be okay. Good. That's the basic halacha. Now, va'amai frek the Gemara, but why should that be the case? Hasum nami nemar agavun se gomer magaresh. Why, when the guy beats you up, is it not a valid get? Shouldn't you say the same svara that we just said by Toliyov Zavin Zvini Zvini? That since you're in a very bad position, in order to get out of that position, you have full das to be megaresh. So shouldn't we say the same thing, that it should be a valid get? So says Gemara, no. Ha'in mar Allah amra mishashi advar Torah. Afilu ba'akum kasher. Enochinami, mida oraisa, even if a guy is the one that forces you, you're right, it should be kasher, because the agavunse, because in order to get out of the position that you're in, you have absolute task to be megarish. So enochinami, you're right, it should be kasher. Umatam amru ba'akum pasul. Why did the Rabbanan say that by akum the get's going to be pasul when the guy forces you? And when we say pasul, by the way, the Rashbam adds in pasul midrabanan. It means that it's only pasul midrabanan in the sense that utzricha get acher, you're going to require another get. But if she goes and is mekabelas kiddushin from somebody else, she's going to need a get from both husbands, right? Because she really midoraisa still is married to the first husband, because that get is not kosher midoraisa. When we say that if an akum forces the husband into giving a get, it's pasul. It only means pasul midrabanan. But on the daraisa level, it is a kasher get, and therefore the kiddushin she gets from the second husband would be a valid kiddushin mida oraisa. So why did the rabbanan make such a psul? Because you don't want every woman who wants a get to go and hire the services of a non-Jew to go beat up her husband in order to give her a get, right? In order to avoid that terrible precedent of women going and getting out of their marriages by hiring a non-Jew to go beat up their husband, the Rabbanan came along and said, that's going to be a pasul get, even though on a daraisa level, it's going to be a kasher get. Now, Frektosos, if you look in the third wide line, says Tosos Vim Tomar, third very wide line, Vim Tomar, Umaynaf Kaminim Tola Ba'akum Afka Asasma Miyad Baila, Tikivin de Bedin of the Vagam Chamay Kofanos Alahotzi. What's wrong with doing that? Why can't you go hire a guy to get out of the marriage? Meaning, after all, if a woman wants a divorce, what do we do? We beat the husband up until he gives a divorce. The Chum would do the same thing. So why can't she take the law into her own hands and do the same thing that the Chum anyway would have done? So what's the problem with it? So he says, "V'yeshlomer de gazru kedin atu shelo kedin." Yeah, sometimes she has a valid taina and she should get divorced. Sometimes she just gets emotional and she's not thinking and she just hires it. The chacham at least would have the objectivity to know when it's necessary, when it's not. V'im tomer lahu taima de mefarish v'megarish de ba'akum pasul dvar Torah mishum lufneim v'lo lufnei akum v'akum lav bnei isui ninu tikshlei l'rafuna my pasul neima agavunse gomer megarish. What about the shita in hamegarish that holds that an akum is pasul midaraisa because of lufneim v'lo lufnei akum? Why don't we say the same svara? That no, who cares how she's being put, how the husband's being put into a situation of onus? Whenever you put his back against the wall, so he's gamur makne. He really has full das to be makne. Who cares whether it's a guy or a Jew? V'yishlomar kivin shal de kfias akum nelsno have shaloka din. He says, no. Once it's a guy that's forcing you, according to that shita in Hamagarish, it's considered shalokadin, and therefore it has the status of matana, like we said before, that any time you're doing it kedin, so it has status of mecher, because you're getting something in return. You're getting a kiyum of doing the right thing in return for giving the get. But when it's shalo kedin, then you're not getting anything in return. When it's not kalacha to give the get, then you're not getting anything in return. And then it has the status of a gift. And everyone agrees that if someone forces another person to give a gift, it's an invalid gift. Like we said before, that's what we call mugging somebody. That's certainly an invalid gift. Fine, says the Gemara. Most of Rav Amnuna, so we're going to ask another kasha. Lakach mi sikrikon v'chazav lakach mi balabais mechel batel. If you buy a property from the sikrikon, who's the thug who went and took someone's property, and then you go and you buy it from the balabais, just to make sure, from the guy who's the rightful owner, the sale is batel. Why don't we say the same thing over there? That the balabayis, because of the position of onus that he's put in, has full das to be makneid to you. Why do we assume that it's an invalid sale? If we're going to assume that the svara is that whenever a person's back is against the wall, they have das to be makneid. That's what we said yesterday. That it's only invalid when all he said is lechazek ukni. But if he actually wrote up a shtar, then it is a valid sale. But what about according to Shmuel, who says that even b'shtar you're not kona? Then what are you going to say? So he says, moda Shmuel hechadi avzuze. Shmuel is going to be moda when there was money that changed hands, that it is going to be a valid sale. What about what we said yesterday, that in the name of Rav Nachman, that when the Gazlan forces you to sell something to him, that granted he doesn't acquire the karka, but he does get his money back, the money that he paid you, then what are we going to say? So Rav Bibi Meimer, who Meimer Rav Huna L'Sfirulei. You can't ask Rav Bibi against Rav Huna. Rav Bibi is a Meimer of Amoraim. Rav Huna is entitled to argue on Rav Bibi. He doesn't have to agree with everything that Rav Bibi says. Now, why didn't the Gemara say this in the previous line? The Gemara asked, what are you going to do with Rav Huna of Tel Yovazav Zvini Zvini in line of Shmuel? Right? Rav Huna is against Shmuel. Couldn't we have said the same thing? Shmuel and Rav Huna disagree. Shmuel's an Amora, Rav Huna's an Amora. So the Ritva points out, yeah, but there's a rule that Hilchos Shmuel Bedini, that generally we follow Shmuel when it comes to Dini Mamlus. So it's unlikely that Rav Huna would have wanted to argue. So that was a kasha. How could Rav Huna go against Shmuel? But to ask how could Rav Huna go against Rav Bibi, that's not really a kasha. They're both Amoraim, they're each entitled to their opinion. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hilchosa, Tel Yovazav Zvini Zvini. The halacha is that someone was forced to somebody else into a sale, it's a valid sale. V'lo amron ela b'sada stam. But that's only when the thug who's forcing his friend into a sale does not identify which field he wants. He just says, I want to buy a field from you, and he forces him. Aval b'sada zu lo. But if he identifies, I want dafka this field, then it's not going to be a valid sale. U'b'sada zu nami lo amron. And even in the case of Sadazu, it's only if he didn't count the money, right? Meaning, even in the case of Sadazu, where we said that it's not going to be a valid sale, that's only if he gave him money and you saw the guy that was selling it didn't even count the money, because as far as he was concerned, he was being forced into this whole mechira. It wasn't even something he was interested in. He didn't even take the time to count the money. Aval artzi zuzi lo. But if he actually counted the money, then it's going to be a valid sale. V'lo amran el d'lo havel ishtamute, aval havel ishtamute lo. And that's also only if he didn't have anything to get out of it with. But if he had the ability to get out of it, then it would not be true. What does that mean? So says Rashbam in the first skinny line, v'afilu b'sadazu v'lo artzizuzi, even if he identifies a field and he never counted the money, lo amran d'lo vizvini, we only said it's an invalid sale, if he had no other way out, it's only an invalid sale. If he had no other way out, no other excuse he could have possibly given to say why he can't do this right now. Kigon, hamtainli ad l'machar. Like he couldn't say, wait till tomorrow, or at shetavo ishti, or wait till my wife comes, let me at least discuss it with her. Or anything in order to just get this thug out of his face. He had no way to possibly get around it. That's when we say the sale is invalid. But if he could have had some excuse, he could have said, wait till tomorrow, wait till my wife comes home, wait for this, wait for that. He could have had some excuse and he didn't use it. Then it is going to be a valid sale, even if the thug identified a specific field, and even if you didn't count the money. it's still going to be a valid sale. V'hilchasa and halach l'maisa, bottom line, b'kulu d'havu zvini zvini. That in all cases, it is a valid sale when someone's forced into a sale. V'afilu b'sadazu, even in a case where the field is identified by the thug that he dafka wants that field, even in that case, it's still going to be called a valid sale. Why? Tahaisha kasadazu damya, because a woman has the status of sadazu, meaning when you try to force a woman to marry you, you're not stop forcing a random woman into marrying you, you're trying to force a specific woman into marrying you. So the woman is like sadazu, from our memory, told you have a kaddish, kiddush of kiddushin. And we know that if you force someone into kiddushin, the kiddushin is valid. So the same thing should be true by a sale. If you force someone into selling you a field and you identify the field, it should be valid, just like by the isha where told you have a kaddish, the kiddushin is absolutely valid. Now, a couple of things over here. The Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashbam explained that Kiddushi Isha is domet in Mechira because she's miskadeshes bekesef. That it's like Mechira in that sense, that you use kesef to be mekadesh a woman and use kesef to buy the field. The Rishon just asked that Amemar said it bechalof and the Kiddushin works bel karcho. Lav dafka just with kesef, sounds like with Sharabia also. So why should we say dafka from kesef that we learned it out? That's a little bit odd. Rashba says the reason that an isha is dumb to a mecher is because even though she's ne'enas, even though you're forcing her into the kiddushin, still, meaning the big question I'm dealing with is when I force someone to sell something to me, I'm at least paying them. When I'm being mekadesh an isha, I'm giving her nothing. Right? What am I giving her? How can you compare the two cases? So that's what the Rashbam says. No, you're being mekadesh with kesef. So you're giving her something. Rabbeinu Yonah, you're being mekadesh with kesef. Who says? Maybe I'm giving her a shtar. What's the shtar going to do for her? That's useless. It's not worth a shavu pruta. Right? So the Rashbam says, no, what she's getting is, she's getting the title of Mrs. Right? When the Chazal have a chazaka, that tav l'meis of tandum in l'meis of armila, a woman would always prefer to be married, even if it's to a lowlife and to a nobody, than to be an almana, or to be single, and therefore, that's what you're giving her in return. You're forcing her into it, and she's not interested, but since it's like a mecher, in the sense that you're giving her something, you're giving her the ability to be considered a married woman, that alone is good enough. Now, Rabbi Kivegri asks, according to the Rashbam, that lo artzi zuzim, what we spoke about before, that lo artzi zuzim means that you didn't count the money, and when a person doesn't count the money, they're showing that they're being mekabel the money bal karcham, and that they're not really interested in the whole transaction. So then, what's the raya from a meimar? By a meimar, we're talking about being mekadesh nisha with a pruta, so there's nothing to count. Right? I remember somebody being Mekadesh Nisha with a Pruta, there's nothing to count. How can you compare the two cases? And by Kiddush Shtar Bia, right, there's no Chisaron in not counting. So maybe in those cases where there's nothing to count, there's no way to show an objection by not counting because there was nothing to count in the first place. But by a sale where when you don't count, you're showing that you object to the very premise of the sale, maybe that would be different. That's Rabbi Kivegu's Kasha. Okay, there's a lot of good Kashas here. There's a lot of interesting comparisons over here. But we'll have to leave it aside because the next sugya is a very major sugya. The next few lines of Gemara. Says the Gemara, Mar Bar Avashi Amar B'isha Vadei Kiddusha Nohavu. Mar Bar Avashi says, by a woman, if you force a woman into marrying you, that's not a valid kiddushin. I mean, we said in the name of Amemar Davar Pashut, told you of a kaddish, if you force a woman into accepting kiddushin, it's a valid kiddushin. Mar Bar Avashi says, no, absolutely not, it is not a valid kiddushin. Why? He did something very wrong, meaning it's a basic problem in his Ben Adam L'Chavero, if the way he charms a woman into marrying him is by hanging her up on a tree and says, I'm not going to let you down until you accept my Kiddushin. So he's got some social issues. He did something that was wrong, and therefore we do something that's wrong to him. What do? We uproot his Kiddushin. We say, even though this Kiddushin should have been valid midaraisa, we're getting rid of this Kiddushin. We're not, the Rabbanan are not recognizing this Kiddushin. So I'm going to reveal the Ravashi, Tenach B'Kaddush B'Kas, B'Kaddush B'Yah Ma'ikah L'Meimar. That's great if you used Kiddush HaKesef, that you can uproot the Kiddushin. You can turn the Kesef into Hefker or whatever, and say that it wasn't Kesef Kiddushin. But Kaddush B'Yah Ma'ikah L'Meimar, what are you going to do with Kiddush HaBiyah? How are you going to uproot that? So I'm going to Shavir Rabban B'Yah B'Yah Z'Nus. Answers the Gemara, no problem. We'll turn that Bia into Bias Nus. We're not above that. That's fine. We'll take the Kiddush Bia and we'll say it wasn't Kiddush Bia, it was Bias Nus. Now, This is a very major sugya in Shas, the sugya of Avkeinu. I'm teaching Ksubas this year in Yeshiva, and in my base medrash here, we spent several days on the sugya of Avkeinu. But just some very basic points. First basic point is, you find the idea of Avkeinu Rabbanan Kedusha Minei in five or six places in Shas. But there are some of the places where you find Avkeinu Rabbanan Kedusha Minei, it introduces the concept of saying, Hu asa shloka ogen l'fich chos nimo shloka ogen. And some of the places it does not introduce it with that, rather it introduces it with the phrase, Kol de mekadesh adayte drabanan mekadesh. That anyone who does Kedushin is doing it al dasa drabanan, and therefore Avkeinu Rabbanan Kedusha Minei. Now, the fact that it introduces that line of Avkeinu with two different phrases tells you, and the Rishonim point this out, including Tosafot over here, that there are two different dinim of Avkeinu. That Avkeinu does not work by the same mechanism in all places. That one type of Avkeinu is where the marriage was for sure fine. There was no problem with the marriage. And it was just that later on, there was a get that was given that there were problems with the get. And the Rabbanan are going to come along and they're going to say that the get is kosher. That's one type of Avkeinu. That's not the type of Avkeinu we're dealing with over here. That's what the Gemara has in Ksubis, let's say. Well, let's pick a better case. The Gemara says where in Gittin Lamed Beis, if I make a shliach to give a get, right, a man makes a shliach to give a get for him, so, and then while the shliach is on the road, he goes in front of two edim and says, I'm being mevatel that guy shlichus. He's no longer my shliach. So technically, on a daraisa level, the guy is no longer the shliach, and when he delivers the get to the wife, she's not divorced. But the Rabbanan say that's a rotten thing to do, because she's going to think she's divorced. The shliach has no way of knowing you were mevatel the shlichus. It's a horrible thing to do. So the Rabbanan are going to come along and they're going to say, even though the get should not be valid and therefore they should not be divorced, we're recognizing that they're not married anymore. We're going to say that called mekadesh zayt Rabbanan mekadesh afkinu Rabbanan kedushin minei, you're no longer married. But that's a case where the kedushin was fine. Kedushin was 20 years ago. It was fine. It was just that there was a problem with the get. They wanted to get divorced, and the get should not have been kosher. The Rabbanan are going to recognize the pasul get. That's one type of Avkeinu. The second type of Avkeinu is the type that we have in our Gemara, where there was no get, there was no problem with the get. The problem was much more fundamental. The problem was with the Kiddushin itself. The Maisa Kiddushin was lacking. And that's our Gemara. Till you have a Kaddish, you were Mekaddisher in a way that was unethical. Because you're Mekadisher in a way that was unethical, you don't need a get in the picture in order for the Rabbanan to uproot a Kiddushin. The Rabbanan don't need a get, because they can say, just look at the Kiddushin. The Kiddushin is problematic. And therefore, they're not going to recognize the Kiddushin Meikara. Those are the two types of Avkeinu Rabbanan and the Kiddushin Minei. There might be a third type, but it's not mentioned in the Gemara anywhere. Rashi, in Shabbos Kuf Memehem Beis, says that the halacha is, if a woman's husband doesn't come back from a war or from a trip or whatever, and then an Eid Echad comes, even a woman comes, a single person comes and says, oh yeah, I know that your husband is dead, so we're allowed to believe the Eid Echad. Even though normally, by Davar Sheberva, you need two Eidim, we're allowed to believe an Eid Echad. So Rashi says, why? The Rabbanan decided you could believe that Eid Echad, Afkinu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Minei. Over there, you don't seem to have either of those types of Afkinu that we spoke about, because there was no problem in the Kiddushin, and you don't have a get. You don't have any sort of possible get, right? If Afkinu only works in those two ways, either a problem in the Yetzam HaKiddushin, or there's a possible get in play, it's just that the Rabbanan are going to recognize what would have otherwise been a possible get. It's what we call Srach Gita. Well, over there, you don't seem to have either one. So you have to work it out and figure out how that fits into either of the categories. But again, it's a major discussion of how Afkinu works, what the mechanism is, right? Rashi seems to say that it's like every marriage has a tanai built into the marriage. That any time a chassan is mekadesh shakala, right, what does he do? He says, kedas Moshe Yisrael, that means to say that our kiddushin should be totally in the hands of the rabbis. And if they don't approve of it, then the kiddushin should be invalidated. That's what Rashi seems to say. There are several problems with Rashi. Tosafot seems to assume the mechanism is different, that the mechanism is akiras davar min haTorah, that the rabbanan have the right to uproot dinim daraisa, and therefore they have the right to uproot kiddushin daraisa as well. Okay, whatever. It's a very complicated discussion. There's also a big discussion in Rishonim when they are unmarried from, meaning are they unmarried going back to the time of the original Kiddushin, or is the marriage only invalidated from the time when the Rabbanon do Afkinu? Now, in our case, there's no discussion, because they do Afkinu right at the beginning, right at the beginning of the Kiddushin. It's by the other type of Afkinu that we have a question. And the other issue, again, we're not going to get into these issues, just to mention what the issues are, is the other major issue that Rishonim deal with is, if there's always the possibility that the Rabban could uproot a Kiddushin, shouldn't every Hasra'a for an Eishes Ish, if you see a man is about to sleep with an Eishes Ish, how are you supposed to give the guy Hasra'a? Shouldn't every Hasra'a be Hasra'a Safek? Because it might turn out that she's not an Eishes Ish, should the rabbis later come along and uproot a Kiddushin? So shouldn't every Hasra'a be Hasra'a Safek? So that's a major issue Tosfos deals with Maseches Gittin. Okay, but again, those are the primary issues. Says Gemara Vayter, just trying to finish up over here, Tavi, Tala L'papi Akin Rav Zavin, Vizavin. Tavi forced someone to sell something to him. Chasam Rabba Bar Barchana Amoda'a Va'ashkalta. Rabba Bar Barchana signed both on the Moda'a, where the seller knew in advance that he was going to be forced, so he wrote a Moda'a that I'm not putting my das in this, I don't want this to happen. So Rabba Bar Barchana signed on that, and also on the Ashkalta. He also signed on the Shtar Mecher, that of the sale. Samra Funa Manda Chasam Moda'a, Shaper Chasam, Manda Chasam Ashkalta, Shaper Chasam. That it's okay to sign on both. What do you mean? Frankly, Gemara Manashach. Imoda lo ashkalti v'yashkalta lo mada. How could you sign on both? If you're acknowledging that it's not a good sale, how could you then sign in the Shtar Mecher? If you think it is a good sale, how could you sign in the Moda? So, Hachi Kamar, this is what he means to say. Ilav Moda, had it not been for the Moda, man de chasm ashkalta shaper chasm. Then it would have been okay to sign on the ashkalta. Rafuna Tame, and this is Rafuna, Lishitasa, Dom Rafuna, tell you of a Zavin, Zvini Zvini, that you see someone being forced into a sale, had it not been that he put a Moda'a out first, it would be a valid sale, and therefore it's okay to sign on a Shtar Mechira, or on a Shtar Mecher, when even though you know that the person is being forced into it, because if he wanted to avoid it, he should have put out a Moda'a in advance, otherwise it is going to be a valid sale. Okay, Bez Hashem will pick up right there, two lines on the bottom tomorrow. Shorter shear tomorrow for Rosh Hashanah Rabbah.